Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. We're so glad you joined us today. We've got a great program for you. Yeah. My name's Ashley Terades and this is my wife, Carly.
Hey.
And we're glad you joined us in the lounge. Praise God. So before we start, you know, we're looking at Philippians. And we're in the third chapter of Philippians at the moment. We'll be doing a little series here of life lessons that will help you live the abundant life. But before we get started, I want to tell you about a few things real quickly. First of all, this is Carly's confession card. You can get our website. It's terradesministries.com. And you can actually get this confession card as our gift to you. If you go to our website, we'll send this to you. This will really help you with your identity in Christ, praise God. It's a powerful little card. I use it regularly. And the other thing I want to tell you about is this is a teaching series that me and Carly did together. This is called Practical Ministry Training, and this will really help you in ministry. We teach on all different things here. We teach on how to hear the voice of God. We teach on how to lead someone into salvation, how to lead someone in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and how to receive their prayer language. We teach on spiritual gifts.
There's several lessons on there. I think it's 5 hours, actually. Mm-hmm. Of how to minister healing to the sick.
How to minister healing to people, and actually how you can help people receive their healing. So whether you need this teaching yourself or whether you're a minister and you want to give this teaching out and learn how to be a more effective minister, this will really help you. There's 9 lessons in here, and there's also a curriculum. There's a CD in there that has the curriculum on it.
Yep.
So this will really be, we know churches that have taken this and taken their whole church prayer team through this and things like that. So this will really bless you. TerryDesMinistries.com. You can go on there and get a copy of this teaching if you would like. Praise the Lord. So today we're looking at Philippians 3, Philippians 4, is it?
Yep.
I thought it was Philippians 3.
Nope.
There you go, Philippians 4, my bad. 3 was previous programs. We're on Philippians 4 now. Yep. Philippians 4, 13.
Yep.
Hopefully most of you know this verse. It's a very famous verse, a verse we love to have on our refrigerators, on our bumper stickers, get t-shirts and baseball caps. This is a good verse, praise God. This is Philippians 4, verse 13. And it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. What does that mean, Carly?
Wow. That means that we're invincible.
Invincible.
Invincible, like superheroes, right? Like the Incredibles. You know, when we start to focus on every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus, it says that our faith becomes effective. This is Philemon verse 6. Our faith becomes effective as we start to acknowledge every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. And here's the thing, when we're in the middle of a battle, when we're in the middle of the storm, it's really easy to start looking at everything that's going wrong with, mm-hmm. with the world, everything that's going wrong in our lives. But with that kind of mindset, what happens is we find ourselves really quickly like a plane on a nosedive when one of its engines goes out, right? And we can find ourselves spiraling downwards towards the ground, wondering why nothing's working. But when we start to focus on, hang a second, we've got Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Amen.
When we start to focus on, you know what, the creator of the universe is crazy about me. He loves me with an everlasting love, and now he lives in my heart. Man, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Man, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that heals the sick, casts out demons. I mean, all it cleanses the lepers.
Right.
That very same power lives in us today.
That's awesome.
Man,
get me pumped.
You could just start
excited.
To preach yourself happy, right?
Amen.
And so we start to change our shift rather than looking at our own ability to looking at, hang a second, we're not only operating in our own ability. Because Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I'll never leave you or forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are never without Christ. We are never Christless.
Amen.
Right?
That's okay.
So we're not operating in our strength or our ability anymore. So when we read this again now, it says, I can do all things through Christ. We are never, as believers, we are never doing things outside of Christ. Once he lives in us, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
He's already in us. Amen. That's good news. So while it might be true that, you know, we can't actually do all things in our own strength, we're not operating in our own strength anymore. We're drawing on the supernatural power of God. He's putting his super to our natural. That changes everything, doesn't it?
Amen. It's powerful. You know, it reminds me of, I wasn't planning to say this, but I will. It reminds me of, you know, realizing what we have on the inside is so powerful. You know, this is Matthew 11:11. Okay, this is Jesus talking. Matthew 11:11. He's talking about John the Baptist. Matthew 11:11. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there was not one risen greater than John the Baptist." Okay, so he's saying John the Baptist is the greatest man who's ever lived. So basically, outside of Jesus himself, John the Baptist is the greatest man who's ever lived. He said, "But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And that used to bother me, that verse. I was like, what's that about? What does that mean? And then I realized, you know what? that if you're born again of the new covenant, if you're born again, see, John the Baptist was old covenant. If you're born again of the new covenant, you are greater than anyone in the Old Testament. I mean, it's like, because Amen. We have, when you're born again, you get Jesus living on the inside of you. Like you're saying, you have everything. You have Christ, the hope of glory, living on the inside of you. You become one flesh with him, 1 Corinthians 16. You become one flesh, mm-hmm. right, with Christ. I mean, 6:16, that is. I'm telling you, it's powerful. When you get born again, praise God, you get all this in the inside of you. You get the Spirit of God living on the inside. You get Jesus living on the inside of you. And all the Old Testament characters didn't have this. Mm-hmm. And I got to meditate on this. I think we've got so much on the inside of us, praise God. This is powerful. I remember thinking one day, you know what, when I get to heaven, I can't wait to go and meet all my old covenant, all the Old Testament heroes. You know, I can't wait to go up to Abraham and say, Abraham, you know, what was it like to be called the friend of God? Mm-hmm. And go up to Noah and say, Noah, what was it like, you know, to get a word from God, build a boat, it never rained before, you didn't even know what a boat was, and you built an ark, you know, on a word of God. That's mm-hmm. that's so powerful. David, what was it like to be called, you know, a man after God's own heart? And ask all these Old Testament heroes, yeah. Elisha, Elijah, all these people, what it was like, you mm-hmm. know, to live all these things. And I really, in this dream, it was like God rebuked me almost. He's like, no, wait, actually, I'll tell you what's going to happen. When you get to heaven, you're going to have Abraham and Moses and Elijah and Elisha and all these people, King David, come to you and say, hey, Ashley, what was it like to have Christ living on the inside of you? What was it like to have the whole Bible? I mean, we just had a few words with God. We had some, but you had the whole Bible from beginning to end. What was it like? What was it like to have the church of believers mm-hmm. and be able to go to a fellowship with believers? What was it like to have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you? To God to never leave you or forsake you. We had the Holy Spirit just now and again. He used to descend on us and empower us, but then he used to leave. But you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. What is it like to have Christ, to know Jesus mm-hmm. living on the inside of you? And it got to realize, you know, we have so much in Christ.
Amen.
We have so much in Christ. And I'd be like, well, I mean, it was okay. I mean, I used to worry. What would you worry about? Well, I'd worry about how I'd, you know, pay the mortgage, or I'd worry about this and that. And they'd say, are you serious? Like, you had all this. You know, we had just a little bit of God. We had just a little bit of God's Holy Spirit. We just had a little bit of God's revelation. And we conquered nations, and we saw the dead raised, and we, you know, we come against armies, and we defeated nations and all these things. What did you do with what you had? And I realized, wow, we're living so far yeah. under our potential.
Yeah.
All what we have in Christ is so powerful. All things are possible for those who believe, Amen. Praise God. We
all
can
things.
Do all things. I'm telling you, it's amazing when you think about it and you start to meditate, like Carly said mm-hmm. on that Philemon 1:6 verse. You start to meditate on what you have on the inside. I'm telling you what God's already given you, then you'll start to believe you can do all things, praise God. God has equipped you with so much. You've got far more than the Old Testament heroes ever had. You are fully equipped, praise God, and you can do all things. Amen. Amen.
It really comes down to, where are we putting our faith?
Amen.
Who are we putting our faith in? Mm-hmm. Because if our faith is in our own flesh, you know what? We're very aware of our own frailties and our own weaknesses now and our own shortcomings, our own weaknesses, right? But when we realize that our faith isn't in our ability, it isn't in our performance, it isn't in our great experience or vast knowledge or ability Man. To perform or our talents or our resources, our strength comes by acknowledging who he is that lives in the inside of us.
Amen.
Then we'll really start to see that we can really do anything that God has called us to do. Look Amen. At this. This is in Luke 8. And we'll start in verse 22. It says, now it happened on a certain day that he got into the boat with his disciples. He's talking about Jesus. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. Remember this, right? And they launched out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came up upon the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. The boat was beginning to sink, right? And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But look at Jesus' response. He says, but he said to them, where is your faith?
Yeah.
Where is it? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he even commands the wind and the water, and they obey him. You see, they missed the point.
Mm.
They were marveling at what Jesus has done. He used his words and his authority over the things of the storm, but they missed the point.
Mm.
He was saying to them, where is your faith? You see, who is your faith in?
Mm.
It's in your boat. It's me. I'm here with you. I'm in your boat. Do you think we're going to sink? Right?
They had Jesus in the boat.
They had
them.
Jesus in the boat.
Right.
You know, when we understand that we have Jesus living on the inside of us, We cannot sink.
Amen.
You know, in Corinthians, it says love never fails. God is love, right? Amen. Love never fails. Love was with them in the boat that day.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't sink. Man, when I was a little girl, my brother and I were learning to swim, right? And so I had these armbands, these little floaties on, and he thought it was, he's 3 years older than me. Now, he thought it was a great idea to just push me down below the water and then let go and watch me pop up like a cork, right?
It's really like a fun game.
Yeah, great. Yeah, sibling love, you know. Stop that, right? And so, but then God showed me when I was reading this, he said, you know what? It's like you've got Jesus floaties on. You know what? The circumstances of life might seem like they're overpowering you for a moment. And they might seem like the circumstances are coming over your head. The waves are pushing you down. You're pushed down with the circumstances, the weight of the things that are going on around you. But it's just for a moment, because in just a second, you're going to pop right back up to the surface. You see, we have Jesus floaties on.
Amen.
Right? So we may be pressed. We may be pushed down. We may be persecuted. We may be hard-pressed on every side, but we're never going to sink.
Amen.
Not with Jesus. Amen. We've got Jesus in the boat. So where is your faith? Because you know what? If it's in our own ability, we're going to be out there on a limb. But we're not in our own ability. And the thing I loved about this, in the verse 22 at the beginning of that passage, it says, let us cross over to the other side. You know, God is never going to ask us to do something without giving us the ability to do it.
Amen.
He's not going to lead us. You know, the Lord does not lead us into failure. He only ever leads us into the path of success. He's never going to ask us to do something or lead us down a path that's going to cause us to fail or not be able to. Because in every word from God, there is everything that we need to be able to fulfill it.
Amen.
That's really powerful.
That's awesome. So when God says, tells us something like go across the other side, do not be afraid, you can do all things through Christ, things like that, then that means we can do them, right?
We can do them.
He wouldn't ask us to do something we couldn't do.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I'm just thinking there are so many times in our life where it just seems like it's impossible.
Right.
You know, but God.
Amen.
But God is faithful, and He will always lead us in the paths of righteousness, the paths of success. Now, He doesn't promise it's going to be easy. You know, sometimes there are giants in the land,
right?
And the children of Israel were given the promised land. And when they got to the promised land, they realized, hang a second, there's some pretty big dudes in this land. Are you sure about that? But God had already given them the land. You see, when they were going into the land, they weren't figuring out whether they could take it or not.
Right.
They were supposed to be going in. This is in Numbers chapter 13. They were supposed to be going into that land to spy out the land.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? They saw that there were giants in the land. Do you remember Joshua and Caleb, the story of the two spies that came back?
Yeah.
You know, only two out of the whole group of spies that went in had a different perspective. Joshua and Caleb were the ones that came back and said, you know what? There are giants in the land. You know, but you know, truly, this is a land flowing with milk and honey.
And we were well able to take it.
And we are well able to take it.
And the other 10 said, oh, no, there's giants. We can't do anything with this. But they were the only two that said, no, we are well able to take this land.
Amen.
So that was their attitude. And you know what? God wants us to have that type of attitude. He's promised you healing.
Yeah.
He's promised you prosperity. He's promised you sound mind. He's promised you righteousness. But you know what? It's up to us to believe it. It's not going to happen automatically. It's up to us to believe it. Do you believe that God's healed you? Do you believe that God's prospered you? You know what, the circumstances, just like those giants in the land, the circumstances, well, I don't look very prosperous or I don't feel very healed. But you know what? No, God's given you that promise. And now by faith, you can step out and receive it, praise God.
Mm.
You know, sometimes that means a fight. It's a good fight. You know, James talks about it as being a good fight. A good fight is when we win, right?
Right.
That's a good
fight.
That's
the only kind I like. So this passage, what we're talking about is in Numbers 13. And in verse 30, it says, then Caleb, this is the spies have come back from the land. It says, Caleb quietened the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Verse 31 says, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. You see, unlike the other people there, Caleb wasn't looking at his own strength.
Mm.
He was counting on the strength of God that was with them. That God was with them, right? And it didn't make any difference that there were giants in the land, because he knew that God was with them. And he says, and gave the children of Israel, and this is verse 32, and gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land with which they had gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all of the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, and the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. You see, the spies that came back, they were only counting on their own ability. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really interesting. It wasn't until they started to see themselves as weak and defeated that they became as such.
Right.
If we start to see ourselves as only operating in our own ability, as being victims, as never having enough, as never quite being able, and not place real value on everything that God has put on the inside of us, it'll become like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. If we see ourselves as weak and defeated, as victims, we're going to be weak and defeated and victims.
Amen.
But if we start to see ourselves as more than conquerors, we're going to start to see ourselves conquering.
Amen. That's powerful.
That's a whole flip in the mentality there.
That's powerful. You know what? I've got into the habit lately of actually meditating on the verses that talk about how God's already made me a conqueror. God's already made me victorious. And I'll encourage you to do the same thing, because if your self-talk, if you see yourself as grasshoppers like what the spies did, then that's what's going to happen. You're going to see yourself like that, and you're going to walk into a situation and think, "Oh, woe with me, I can do nothing. You know, I've got no power." But God has not made you like this, okay? In fact, without God, you could do nothing. You know this. You know, Jesus tells us this. Without God, I could do nothing. You know what? But you're not without God. God will never leave you nor forsake you. So you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. God has made you victorious, praise God. You are more than a conqueror. You're a champion. You're victorious, praise God. He leads you to victory in all things. I'm telling you what, you start meditating on those things, start meditating on those verses, start seeing who you are in Christ. Praise God, it changes everything. And as I say, some Christians get sort of humble. Well, you know, I'm just nothing. Yeah, we know you're nothing in the flesh.
But you're not just in the flesh.
But you're not just in the flesh. You've got Jesus. You're all Holy Spirit. You've got Jesus living on the inside of you. And you need to start seeing yourself as Jesus sees you. You're a world overcomer, praise God, in Jesus. And I'm telling you, Mark, this is powerful stuff, because this can really change how things play out in your life. Because if you just play, well, woe with me, I can do nothing, then that's what's going to happen. But if you realize, you know what, God's made me a champion and I can do all things, it is powerful. It's going to really bless you. You know, I've got a few verses here. Romans 8:37. I love this. In all things, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves me. I've got it written out like this. I've paraphrased some of these.
Made it personal.
In all things, yeah, I read this personal to myself. It's like, in all things, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves me. You know, and I took that from Romans 8:37. You know, 1 John 2 says, I've overcome the evil one. You have overcome the evil one. You know, one more here. 1 John 4:4. You know what? Greater is he who lives in you than he is in the world. You have overcome the evil one. You've got more power in you than the devil in the world.
You're a world overcomer.
A world overcomer. Mm-hmm. Amen. Isn't that neat? So you read John. John's letters are great. They talk about how you're a world overcomer. You've overcome the world. You've overcome the evil one. Praise God. They'll inspire you. Amen.
Amen. I love that. What you just read that in Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, in all of these things, and if you back up, you know, what were those things that they were talking about? Well, it says it in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He says, no. You know, for in all these things, we are more than conquerors through he who loved us. More than conquerors. That doesn't just mean that we just survive, that we just barely scrape by. It means not only do we just conquer something, but we are more than conquerors.
Amen.
I love the analogy that you use about the boxer in the ring.
You may have heard this before, but you know what, I'm going to say it again.
It's a great analogy.
You know, imagine two heavyweight boxers and they're having a boxing match and they're fighting each other. And you know what? What happens is one of them beats the other one. He knocks him down and they lift up the winner's arms and they say, this is the champion. He is the champion of the world.
They're the conqueror.
He's the champion. They lift him up and they say, he's victorious. He's the champion. And you could say, he's a conqueror. He has conquered. Mm. He's conquered. He's now the heavyweight champion of the world. And they give him a big belt, you know, a big golden belt. And they give him a purse. Joyce phone
it's
funny.
A bit girly.
They give a man a purse. They give him a purse, which is the prize money. And the prize money could be like, you know, imagine $1 million prize money. They give him $1 million prize money purse. They lift up his arms. They say, here's a conqueror. And he's a bit beaten up because he's been fighting. He's a little bit like, you know, Adrian.
And Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Balboa. But he is the conqueror. He's the champion. He's the conqueror. And then his wife jumps over the ropes and walks across the ring. And she kisses him on the cheek because she's his wife.
Obviously.
And she takes that $1 million prize money. And she goes down to the mall or down to the Lexus dealership.
There you go.
Now, he's a conqueror, but she's more than a conqueror.
Amen.
She's more than a conqueror because through her relationship with him, she gets all the spoils. You know what? Mm-hmm. Jesus has conquered the devil. Jesus has conquered sickness. Jesus conquered poverty. He took it all to the cross and he defeated it all, praise God. Now, us, through our relationship with Jesus, through our relationship with Jesus, get all the spoils, praise God. That's why we're more than conquerors. We get all those spoils. We get all the benefits of what Jesus paid for, praise God. He daily loads us with benefits. Jesus gives us all those benefits. He won the battle for us, praise God. He fought for us, and now we get to pick up the spoils. So that's why we are more than conquerors now.
Amen.
You know, the work's been done, praise God.
And you know what? Here's the truth. It's the battle's not even ours.
Amen.
The battle's already been decided.
Yeah.
It's not fair. We have favor. It's a fixed outcome.
It really is.
The battle is fixed, right? Amen. The odds are in our favor. Jesus has already defeated the principalities and powers. He's already done the battle and won it for us. All we're doing is riding on his coattails.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? That's what makes us more than conquerors.
Amen. Amen. I remember once we was at a holiday park. I don't know if they have these in America, but it was an English one of these holiday parks, you know. And our kids were tiny then, so I stayed and babysat while Carly and her parents, I think my parents as well, they all went out to this. It was a quiz, wasn't it? It was like a pub quiz.
I don't know which story you're telling here.
It was like a quiz. You went out and you had like a table and you entered this competition and they asked questions. It was a quiz. Do you remember this? Anyway, the whole camp was involved in this thing. It was a quiz and they had to answer the questions correctly and everything else. And anyway, they won. Do you remember your dad and your mum and my parents? They all won. And they won. They become the winners of the whole camp.
Yeah.
And whatever it was back then, 2004 or something, camp winners of this quiz. Like they went through the finals and won the whole thing, which is awesome. But I stayed home to babysit. So I wasn't even there. I didn't get to answer any of the questions. I didn't even partake. But they got an extra T-shirt for me.
That's right.
Because I was part of the family. That's right. You know, I was part of the table, even though I wasn't there. And they gave me the T-shirt. So I put this T-shirt on. It had 2003 or whatever it was, whatever year it was.
You were the champion.
Winners. And I was walking around like I was the winner. And then people were congratulating me. Oh, well done. You won. And I was like, oh, yeah, I won. And all I did was stay home and babysit. You guys, actually, if I was on your team, you might not have won. That's probably what would have happened. You might not have won if I was going to do my point.
Maybe not.
I didn't do any of the work. I didn't answer any of the questions. I didn't do any of the skill. I just stayed home. I got a winner's T-shirt because of my family.
Amen.
Because of my relationship with you, see?
Amen.
That's what it's all about, praise God. Right. Relationship.
That's our birthright, isn't that? Amen. In our inheritance?
Amen.
Man, we're adopted into the family of God. We're kings and priests, seated with him in heavenly places. Amen. Amen. And so we get to enjoy all the spoils of living as an heir to the throne of Jesus.
Amen.
Right? And we haven't earned it. It's not because of our goodness or our amazing ability. It's because of who we are in him.
Amen. This is the almost too good to be true news. That's what the word gospel meant originally. It meant good news, but it was so extreme. In the Greek, it was like almost too good to be true news. This is the almost too good to be true gospel, praise God. You know what? Jesus paid the price, and through our relationship with him, we get the spoils, amen. And now we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So this is real for you. If you're born again today, I don't care if you feel it or not. You can do all things through Jesus who strengthens you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He's given you the ability to do all things, praise God, through his name. Amen.
This is the scripture I'm looking for. This is 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place."
Amen.
When we start to understand who it is that lives on the inside of us and the victory that we have in Christ, other people in the world are going to start to see it too. You know, and that is the fragrance of Christ, of his knowledge being diffused through us in every place.
Amen.
You see, as we start to walk in the victory that we have in Christ, other people will start to walk in that victory also. Amen. They'll start to see it. You know, Christians should be victorious.
Amen.
Right? I mean, I'm not being fair, but we have unmerited favor. That's what the grace means. It means unmerited favor.
Amen.
We need to start walking in our authority and the grace and the unmerited favor that Jesus already paid for us to have.
And just start expecting things to work out because you know what? We have favor, like you said.
Start speaking it out.
We're royal priesthood, right?
Amen.
Peculiar people.
Some of us are more peculiar than others.
Hey, careful. Careful. This is last verse I want to share here is Mark 9:23. This is Jesus talking to the epileptic boy's father. And he comes to him and said, "Lord, please help us." You know, he's a little bit like helpless. "Help me, Lord. You know, this disease, it's thrown my son into the fire. It's thrown my son into the water. It's trying to kill him." And Jesus turns around to the father and says, "If you can believe," he says, "all things are possible to him who believes." And Jesus said, "You know, all you got to do is believe." If we're believers, our job is to believe.
Believers believe.
Amen. Our job as believers is to believe what Jesus already provided. Grace has already provided it. Grace has already provided your provision. Grace has already provided your healing. Grace has provided your salvation, your righteousness. Grace has provided it all. Now, all we do as believers is believe it and say, "Yes, Lord, I receive it. I believe and I receive it." Praise God. And that's our positive reaction to his grace.
Amen.
By faith, we reach out and believe what God's already done for us, praise God, and receive it. Amen? So all things are possible for you because you believe. If you believe today, all things are possible. If it's in the Word of God, if God's promised it to you, then you can have it, praise God, if you can believe for it. Amen? In that knee? I'm pumped up now. I'm ready to believe for something.
You're ready to go kill some giants.
I'm ready to believe for something. Amen? All things are possible for those who believe, praise God. So why don't you pray for the people before we let them go?
Thank you, Lord. God, Father God, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Yeah. I thank you for all those people that are watching this. I thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be victorious in every area of our life.
Amen.
The Lord, that you haven't left us as weak and defeated Christians, but that you have put your power on the inside of us. You've given us your authority, your power over the things of the kingdom of darkness. Lord, I thank you that you call us to be more than conquerors.
Amen.
Then nothing can separate us from your love, Lord,
Amen.
But that your power through us leads us into victory, that causes us to triumph in every area of our life.
Amen.
And right now, I just speak breakthrough. I feel like there are some people watching this that have been struggling with the same thing for years and years and years, and you've been getting nowhere. But I'm speaking breakthrough in your area right now, whatever it is. I speak breakthrough and victory in your finances.
Amen. Right
financial freedom for you. I thank you, God, that you have caused
thank
us
you,
to
Lord.
Be people of prosperity. That we are not limited by the things of this world, Lord. But you says we can do all things that you have called us to do. All
Amen.
Things through Christ who strengthens us. And I feel like some of you have almost given up because there are giants in the land. But the Lord's saying, you know what? You have the victory over those giants too.
Amen.
I knew that there were giants in the land and I called you anyway. I called you not to be defeated, but to be victorious.
Amen.
I feel like the Lord's saying you need to keep on going. Don't quit. You'll win if you don't quit. Amen.
Amen.
So God, we get into agreement right now
Amen.
With the plans and the purposes that you have for
Thank
our
God.
Life. And
Amen.
We place a hedge of protection around our families, around those plans, around those hopes and those dreams. And we call them things that be not as though they were.
Amen.
And we command those challenges in our life to come under our feet right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We just call to nothing the plans of the enemy. And we speak life and victory to everything that you've given us already in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We come into agreement with you in Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We'll receive it and believe it today, praise God. That's God's best for you. He wants these things for you, praise God. So you believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know what? Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again very soon on the next program. But until then, why live a normal life when you can live the abundant life? We'll see you next time.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, terradezministries.com.
Hey, I want to thank the partners of Terradez Ministries. You know what? If you're a partner with this ministry, you're enabling us to spread the gospel literally around the world. We have people giving testimonies from all over the world about how they've been set free by these programs and by this teaching. So we want to thank you if you're a partner with us. If you're not a partner with us, we'd love to invite you to partner with us. You know what? Partners catch more fish.
Amen.
You know what? When Jesus told them, the disciples, to cast the net over the other side, praise God, they caught so many fish, they had to call partners to help receive it. We believe we have the spirit of increase on this ministry. We've got a big vision and we need some partners to help us with that. So we believe God's going to give seed to sowers. So if you want to partner with us, go to terradezministries.com/give and you can find out how you can partner with us today. We'd love for you to join us.
Coming up next on the Abundant Life program.
I don't believe in get rich quick. If you're going to get rich quick, you're going to get poor quick. So I don't believe in that. I believe it's layer upon layer, precept upon precept. And what happens is God will use what's in your hands, praise God, and he will put his super to your natural and he'll expand those things.